Hi, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the DWR podcast. My name's Simon Tappan. I'm the Clinical Director at DWR Veterinary Specialists. And this week, I'm here with Angelo Capasso, who is a European and RCVS specialist in veterinary oncology. And he's part of our oncology team here at DWR. Hey, Angelo.
Hi, Simon.
Great to talk to you, Angelo. You've been part of our DWR team for a while, and I've been really lucky to work with you through your internship and residency training with us. Can you tell us about your career to date? And
how you've got on? So it's been quite a long journey, to be honest with you. So I start with the vet school. So I graduated in 2009, so now a long time ago. And since I was a student, I said, well, I think oncology will be my way. And after that, I graduated, I moved to Rome and I started an internship there, so rotating internship. And there I started to deal with onco cases and also with pet owners that, of course, they have to deal with cancer. And after that, so I managed to complete the rotating internship. And in the meantime, I did a master in oncology in vet school of Pisa in Tuscany. And after 3 years, I managed to complete also specialization in physiopathology of reproduction in small animals in University of Naples. And after, I spent 6 years in total in Rome, and after I moved to Bologna, in which I did another internship in oncology. And finally, I moved to UK. Yeah. And I managed to complete the two internships in oncology. And finally, I start my residency at DWR. That I completed in 2022, and I managed to finally the diploma in oncology in 2023. And the same year, so I managed to be part of the exam committee of the European College, which is, for me, has been an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
And so, so it's been quite a long journey.
I can imagine.
Full of things.
No, so it's been great. You obviously did your residency with us. And just to clarify, oncology is obviously the treatment of cats and dogs that have cancer.
Yeah, so it's quite tough residency, because of course you don't have to deal only with patients that have cancer. Yeah. It's not oncology. It's just, it's everything. So we have to deal with internal medicine cases. We have to deal with oncology cases, because when you have a patient with cancer, it's not just cancer, it's a combination of different things.
Yeah.
And of course, our residency program can prepare you to deal with a different kind of situation, not just a patient with cancer, and that's it. It's quite, and also here has been amazing, because I learned from a lot of skilled a supervisor, and I managed to pick a little bit of all of them, and they try to mix all together just to try to bring the best from all of them. Okay, I hope so.
So seeing different people's approaches and ways
of doing things. Because I think this is fundamental, because sometimes you have only one supervisor and you have only one point of view. Yeah. In here at DQH, you have the possibility to learn from a different kind of clinician. You have big picture of everything, which is amazing.
Different ways of doing things, getting to the same answer, but different approaches and different ideas. It's really nice to work in that big team, isn't it, with the multidisciplinary approach. Perfect. Obviously you talked a little bit about the residency program, and working with us as a specialist at DWR, you obviously care for patients that have cancer. What does your normal day look like?
So usually it's quite a busy day, because we don't have to deal only with the patient. So we have to deal with the owners as well. That most of the time is the more complicated part, because of course when we are dealing with cancer, of course, so we know what we have to do, but also we have to try to approach in different way with the owners as well, because there are some owners that can have a different kind of approach, a different kind of response to this kind of news. So usually our day, we start basically, we're doing our morning round, in which we discuss on the case of the day. And of course, during the day, we're dealing with patients, we're going to make diagnosis of cancer. So treatment, we discuss with the owners about what we can offer in terms of investigation, so in terms of treatment, and also how we can help the owners and pets during this kind of long journey. Because of course, it's sometimes a very complicated one. And of course, I think the owner needs to be prepared about and informed about everything that can happen.
Yeah, I think that's a really important part of what you do, isn't it? Or what we do as a practice is making sure that we're caring for the patient, but also caring for the owner as well, and making sure they explain.
I think it's a very important part, because of course the owner they don't feel that they are alone.
Yeah.
They need to be supported. And I know how difficult it will be when you, for example, sometimes you have some owners say, well, I was walking with my dog and everything was okay. And now I'm here. And I'm telling me that my dog might have a cancer.
Yeah.
And it's very shocking news. And you have to be there and say, well, it's okay. You're not alone. And even in worst case scenario, you can always give us a call, have a chat with us. And I think the role of the oncologist is to support the owner. Of course, care about the patient. This is our first things. But yeah. Of course, we have to care about the owners as well.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And I know you and the team do that really, really yeah. well in that regard. But it's finding the right options, I guess, making yeah. sure people understand what's actually happening
exactly.
and
exactly.
the realities of the different options they have and how best to proceed for them yeah. in those their own situation.
Yeah, because sometimes, I mean, in oncology, it's very, sometimes we have to be careful about, we have to be realistic. I don't have to be too much optimistic or too much negative when you're going to deliver this kind of news. You need to be realistic, but at the same time, you have to be fair and honest about what we are doing, which are also the perspective and also what the expectation of the owners, which sometimes we have some owners that say, oh, okay, it's cancer, we can cure it or we can do amazing stuff. Like, yes, but we have to be realistic, we have to stay with them, help them, assist them with this process.
Yeah, sure, and being kind and compassionate and explaining all of that, which I know you do in lots of instances. Exactly. So we see cats and dogs, and is that just veterinary oncology within the European College?
It's just cats and dogs.
Yeah.
So recently, we are having a lot of exotic animals with cancer, but usually this is something that is a completely different kind of specialization. It's not SCVAM. Which is only for cats and dogs. And usually here we used to see only dogs and cats, yes.
Yeah, great. And so what sort of procedures do you do more commonly? You talked about diagnostics and then treatment.
Yeah, so first of all, we have to diagnose cancer.
Yep.
Okay, so usually we can do that with a very simple finding the aspiration. We can just, if we have a patient with a mass or with a node, we just stick a needle there.
Yeah, so
but
just to clarify, finding aspirates.
Yes, we can take a little sample with a little needle.
Yeah.
And we can do some, for example, if we have the diagnosis of cancer, so we can do more advanced investigation. Yeah. So we have a lot of facilities, so we can do simple x-rays and ultrasound, or we can do more advanced imaging, so we can do CT scan. And recently here, we have also lymphangiography. So lymphangiography, basically we're going to inject contrast around the tumor, and we can have which one is the sentinel lymph node, which in human they used to do that, so we are doing that here as well.
By sentinel lymph node, you mean where the cancer is essentially draining to.
Exactly. So,
which is the
lymph node really can drain the cancer cells, which is amazing because before we're going to sample a lot of different lymph node of the same area. So now we're trying to be very more specific and say maybe this one is the one that can drain the cancer cells.
Really targeted for surgical treatment, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you have to remove the cancer, we know which lymph node we have to remove as well. And so this is just from diagnostic point of view, and also we can, after that, we can consider treatment options. So yeah, so I usually, here we are going to do everything from zero to the treatment. So basically from a little lump, we can do all the investigation to give the name of the disease, and after we can go to treat the disease as well.
Yeah, perfect. So we talked about diagnostic procedures and making a diagnosis. What are the main ways of treating cancer in our veterinary patients?
So usually we used to treat patients we are quite similar to human oncology. We're a little bit behind, but I mean, this is normal. Thanks God that human oncology, they are quite far away from us, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so usually here I did quite, we used to treat cancer with, chemotherapy. So here we have dedicated nurses that used to do only oncology, which is amazing. And we have the facility here to deliver chemotherapy. And also when chemotherapy can be used as a single treatment, or maybe can use as a combination with multimodal approach. For example, we can use chemotherapy after surgery. There are some cancer, for example, they are very big, or maybe they are already spreading in the other part of the body, and patient needs surgery and chemotherapy to try to slow down the progression of the disease. There are other cancers that, for example, need only chemotherapy. We can offer chemotherapy. And so we have different kind of treatment options that we can offer here.
So you're obviously talking about surgery, and mm-hmm. we want to try and do surgery where possible, I guess, because a chance to cut is a chance to cure, I guess, in terms of removing it.
So, because if there is a nodule that we have done CT scan and everything is negative, there is a high possibility that we can remove the cancer, and we have the result that say, well, the cancer has been removed with complete margins, so there is a high possibility that we can cure.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing thing to do. So you can say we can cure the cancer. I mean, I don't want to say too loud, but but there are, in some occasions, yes, surgery and some kind of approach, we can control the cancer in an amazing way for a long period of time.
Perfect. Yeah. I mean, you've obviously mentioned chemotherapy, mm-hmm. which is obviously an emotive word to use. I'm sure we all know people that have had chemotherapy and they've been unwell, and it's not been a good experience. So we use that in our veterinary patients. What's that actually like?
Yeah, so it's very challenging sometimes to discuss about chemotherapy with pet owners. So because, of course, the first thing, so if I can tell you about chemotherapy, the first thing you're going to think is about human chemotherapy.
Yep.
So hair loss, lethargy, upset stomach, and et cetera, et cetera. So you know that this could be possible in human oncology. So the big difference between human oncology and veterinary oncology is that in veterinary oncology, because the aim of the treatment is not the cure, because of course it's difficult for us to achieve the cure only with the chemotherapy, we can try to use chemotherapy in low dose, okay? And also the side effects are similar but uncommon. So it's very low, the percentage in which we can have side effects. So we can have very mild side effects, for example, vomiting, diarrhea, lethargy, appetite. But this kind of side effect can be managed with anti-sickness medication, for example, or a probiotic for the diarrhea, bland diet. And also the aim of the chemotherapy is also try to control the cancer, but we have to give our patient a good quality of life. And if, for example, we have a dog or a cat that start to develop side effects, we can always reduce the dosage, or we can prolong the interval between the session, or in worst case scenario, we can just stop chemotherapy. So chemotherapy doesn't mean that we have to carry on regardless. So our first aim is to guarantee a good quality of life. And of course, chemotherapy could be, something we can use to help that. But usually, again, so chemotherapy in dogs and cats is quite very well tolerated, more than humans. This is reported, so this is
experience of working with you in that regard. Yeah. And I think that's really important, a really useful take-home message that we're trying to improve quality of life for as long as possible with minimizing the effects of those side effects.
Exactly. And it's also quite rare to hospitalize patients because of side effects of chemotherapy. Yeah. Of course, so in veterinary oncology, we have quite a lot of different kind of breed, different kind of dogs and cats. It's not in human, in which we have some sort of homogeneity about the cases.
Yeah.
There are some patients that are more sensitive than others, but of course sometimes it's very difficult for us to understand before to start the treatment. So this is why when I discuss with the owner, I say, well, we can start, we can have a look. If we have manageable side effect, we can just carry on. If we have non-acceptable side effect, we can discontinue treatment, or maybe we can reduce the dosage, or again, increase the interval between the sessions. And sometimes we can work in this way, just by, again, to give to the owner different options, not to say black and white. So this is always the gray zone.
Yeah, and working together and having feedback and adjusting your approach depending on the response.
So, because every time when we start this kind of process with the owner, say, well, we have to work as a team. It's not a matter of vet and owner. So we have to work together. Because first of all, I have to understand what's going on when our patient leaves the hospital. Because, for example, they say, well, with me it's absolutely fine. When maybe the owner can tell me, oh, I has a very terrible week. So very lethargic and everything. I don't know that. So that's why I need the cooperation of the owner. Every time I start these kind of things, I say, well, we have to act as a team, and you have to inform me about what's going on, and I have to help you about to give you options. I think this is something that people like that, because this is the same thing as before. So we have to support our patients, and you have to support the owners as well. And I think work as a team, I think, is the best thing that we can do.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And yeah, working to have those outcomes. Exactly. I know that's what you're passionate about and you get the reward from for making the difference.
Yeah,
making,
yeah.
You've exactly. made the right decision. So I just want to spend a little bit of time talking something about, I know you're quite passionate about, I know you've been instrumental in bringing the electric chemotherapy as a treatment option to DWR in really simple terms for me as much as
yeah.
can you explain what electric chemotherapy is?
So electric chemotherapy is local treatment. So what we're going to do is try to inject a chemotherapy agent, and we're going to apply electric pulses at the level of the area that we have to treat. So with this kind of electric pulses, we can make able the cells to receive the chemotherapy. And of course, after the cell is going to die because they receive the chemotherapy. This is, I mean, a procedure that now we are offering here. And we can use this procedure to treat superficial cancer. Or, for example, we can use this procedure to treat, for example, scars. If you're going to remove a big tumor, there is a possibility that you can leave some cells behind. And with this kind of procedure, we can try to clean the rest of the scar from the nasty cells. So, yeah, these are, I mean, quite a cool things that at the moment is, of course, in human, they used to use electric chemotherapy to treat skin cancer. And because it's quite safe, because it's quite quick. So sometimes it's considered a first-line treatment for this kind of disease, for this kind of tumor.
So those are the main sort of indications for cutaneous, say, skin lumps and then surgical scars.
Yeah, so usually, for example, if the lump is located in an area in which surgery is very challenging or maybe because all the surgery will be quite demolitive, they have to remove a lot of tissue, I think it's got a good option to consider electrochemotherapy. We're going to target that area and that's it. And we don't have a lot of side effects.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so usually for is recommended for superficial tumor and also for scars. But my future plan is to try to treat also intra-abdominal cancer.
Okay.
In human, of course, they used to do that.
Yeah.
But so next approach would be maybe to try to be a little bit more and try to do something more in this kind of with this kind of technique.
Sounds really exciting. So by more inaccessible regions, like, because I've seen you do some lips and feet and things like that, so where it's difficult technically to remove
things. There are different areas because, for example, there are some areas in which if you have to do surgery, for example, if you have a tumor between two digits, sometimes you will achieve a good margin, you have to remove the digit.
Yeah.
Okay, it was quite an aggressive kind of surgery, and most of the time, if we have a patient with already orthopedic problem or if you have owners that are not happy with this kind of surgery, we have to try to offer something else. This is why the famous gray zone, okay? Now to say amputation or nothing, the gray zone is maybe you can help to control the cancer in a different way.
Yeah, perfect. And I guess the question we're always asking these things, how well does it work? And this is always a question, I guess, for chemotherapy. It depends on lots of things, I guess, in terms of how we assess it works. But I know you've had some hugely successful things where you've...
Yeah. So we have now, we are collecting quite a lot of cases. So we start with this new treatment thing was the end of November 2024, and now we are having quite a good case log. And so the procedure itself is quite easy to perform. I mean, so of course it could be painful during when we're going to deliver the electric pulses, because of course we're going to deliver electric pulses there, and this is the reason for which the procedure is performed under general anesthesia. And so, usually the procedure itself can last within an hour or 35 minutes, more or less. It depends how big the area is that we have to treat.
Yeah.
And it's just a day hospitalization. So basically, we can admit the patient in the morning, we can do the treatment, and the patient can go home the same day, sometimes with painkiller to be used in case of.
Okay.
But most of the time, they need painkiller as well.
So it's a bit sore where you've treated it, essentially?
Depends on the area and depends on which area we're going to treat, So, for example, it's very uncommon to have an infection. It's quite uncommon to have much pain or discomfort. What we can have maybe is a little bit of sore area. And sometimes when we're going to treat some area on the leg, so we can have a little bit of lameness on the leg, but it's going to last 12 hours. That's it. So all the feedback they have from the owner when we got some sort of lameness after, and say after one day everything was absolutely fine and it was running around, so happy and say, okay,
Brilliant. That's exactly the outcome we want to have.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fantastic. So I look forward to hearing some of the other uses of the electric chemotherapy. It's clear how passionate you are. So it's been great to be able
to bring that to DWR.
So I know, and we talked about this at the beginning, that finding that your pet's been diagnosed with a tumor or cancer is really difficult. So what would you give advice would you give to an owner in that situation?
So in this situation, so my advice is don't panic.
Yeah.
So because of course, you know, so it could be some sort of shocking news.
Absolutely.
And try to avoid to Google it. Every time I say, did you Google it? So because of course, most of the time Google can give you all the information, because the good thing to have actually with the specialist is that the specialist can give you other details, okay? It's not just the common one, because we know that, for example, muscle tumor could be a malignant cancer, but you know that there are different kind of muscle tumors, different kind of grading, different kind of approach, different kind of treatment. And this is why, so if there is a diagnosis of cancer, I think it's always the best thing to do is to have a chat with a specialist, also with, I don't know, just a phone consultation, just to have a chat over the phone. So, well, this is happening, what I have to do? Say, don't panic, so we can discuss about the approach, we can discuss about the possible treatment options. And based on that, we can make a proper plan based on what we have with us. So, you know, surgery or more than chemotherapy or a combination of everything together. So I think, yeah, don't panic and ask for advice. This is my recommendation.
Excellent. And I know we do a lot of phone consultations. So,
By
that we mean that patients don't necessarily come to see us, but you're just talking to the owner about the problem and giving advice and talking through those options.
Because, for example, we have some patients that are not able to come, or because they are very sick, or because they have problem to come here, or sometimes they are patient with a very strong temperament and they don't like to come here or to go to the vet, for example.
Yeah.
And what we can offer is, because we can have a conversation with the owner and we can discuss everything. So I think in this kind of situation, ideally we prefer to have all the information from the local vet, and we can have everything, we can study the case properly, and we can approach with the knowledge of what we know about the case. And of course, based on that, we can discuss with you, and maybe we have to run other investigations, or maybe what we have done is enough and we can make a plan. So this is some sort of something we can, again, decide with the owner as a team.
And that's my takeover is working as a team.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, Andrzej.
No problem at all.
Fantastic talk to you. I've really enjoyed it. So I hope everyone's enjoyed listening too. If you'd like to know more about DWR Veterinary Specialists, then head over to our website at www.dwr.vet or follow us on social media and look out for the hashtag #ProudlyDWR, together creating a better world for pets.